Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting news that networks refuse to use, no doubt, starts now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for March 21st in the year of our Lord, 2022. This is our one of two, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio in the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed, we use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America. That is our guide. And absolutely, we're convinced the checks and balances brilliantly put in place by the founding fathers, what are the great peaceful restorative solutions we still have at our fingertips. As you know, we reject revolution. We stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. We were not live Saturday, ladies and gentlemen. I know that we're live 6 days a week, but man, the last several weeks I've been having to take a couple of shows off. Sickness just plaguing me and my family. It almost makes you wonder if we're being literally targeted, ladies and gentlemen, with sicknesses. Sickness just seems to be everywhere. And, you know, I don't know if that goes into the plagues reality of the Bible or what, but man, I've had COVID for sure 2 times. We believe 3 times. The first time was in the early days, February 2020, when we couldn't even really identify if we had it or whatever at the time, because we didn't even really realize or know about it, right? Anyway, I think I've had COVID 3 times, documented 2 times. The second time was almost deadly. It almost killed me. The third time wasn't so bad. It was kind of like the flu. But you know what? A couple of weeks after I get COVID, I end up with the flu. I didn't get tested for the flu this time, but you know what? My daughter did. She had type A1 influenza. Literally took her to the hospital. The amount of sickness is just shocking. And so anyway, I had to take some time off over the weekend to try to recover from this cursed thing. It's just brutal. I don't know what on earth is going on, but it almost feels like we're being targeted. I don't know how you could get sick so much if you weren't, you know? I've never been this sick this often in my entire life. And it, you know, you just feel like, man, my immune system's just not strong. But at the same time, you go, well, I'm not a whole lot different. Well, it's not just me. It's other people, too. All right. Anyway, enough of that. But so I was not live Saturday, but Friday we were indeed live, and we had Chris Carlson on with us. Without God, we can never win. With God, we can never lose. The battle for freedom is the Lord's, but we need to be engaged in the fight. A discussion of all things liberty with Chris. And we talked about walk softly and carry a big stick. We talked about the escalation ladder. Do you understand that concept? It describes how a military conflict can just get, you know, more and more and more and more severe, if you will. And at the top of the top of the escalation ladder is really nuclear war. Nick Gimbruno wrote a piece about this. The top of the, quote, escalation ladder is nuclear war. Only a couple of nations can really get there. 3 of them, actually. U.S., Russia, China. Other countries have nuclear capabilities to minimal degrees, but not to the top of the escalation ladder. The same dynamic, though, exists in economic warfare as well, ladies and gentlemen. It's far less understood, though, by the way, because it's not so deadly and so clear-cut. But Russia is not just an oil and gas powerhouse, folks, but a commodity powerhouse as well. The most valuable inflation asset isn't what you think. It's farmland, folks. You think it's gold and silver, and gold and silver is great, but farmland just as valuable. Go study the history if you don't believe me. So we're battling this economic ladder with Russia and China and others. And we're talking about a bull or a bear market. Millionaire trader Jeff Clark says, who cares? Doesn't matter. But the war rages on, ladies and gentlemen, militarily as well as economically. America's great because she's good. Alexis de Tocqueville. But if America ceases to be good, America will cease to be great. Ladies and gentlemen, you got to understand this idea. We cannot be in these wars all the time, economic and or physical. We cannot continue to kill. We cannot continue to sanction and pretend we're the moral high ground guys. We cannot continue to breach the sovereignty of other nations. We cannot continue to murder the young. Abortion on demand. Now they're discussing in the Northeast what, 28 days after a baby's born, they can be killed kind of stuff. We got to stop this death and destruction at every level around the world, from abortion to the military-industrial complex. It's evil. It's unjust. It's immoral. And God will punish us as a people. And sadly, the innocent will suffer along with the wicked, won't they? It reminds me of this incredible article written by Spencer W. Kimball, "The False Gods We Worship." Ladies and gentlemen, we have got to jettison the bread and circus. We have got to jettison the endless war. We have got to jettison the quest for abortion. We got to jettison this gender dishonesty. We need to follow the science, and we need to follow God's law. Male and female, created them. Ladies and gentlemen, if this nation is to endure, it will only be upon those divine principles embodied in our founding documents, that is the Constitution for the United States of America and the Declaration of Independence. It will only be done based on God's law, based on Scripture. Second hour we had on Dr. Scott Bradley, freedomsrisingsun.com with us. And we continued this discussion and talked about Russia makes a $117 million bond payment to avoid default. We thought they couldn't make that payment. But you know what? The United States is doing everything they can to make sure they cannot make that payment. Thus, a war crime, in my opinion. Literally manipulating the currency of a country, manipulating the ability for them to pay their debts. You know, on one hand, we say, well, you better pay your debts. On the other hand, we're doing everything we can to ensure they cannot pay the debt. Then we're going to attack them if they can't pay the debt, and they're bad if they do. J.P. Morgan Chase, believe it or not, received and processed the payment. Listen carefully, after U.S. authorities granted permission. What's that all about around the world? I'm a big bank, no matter who I am. Somebody owes me money, and I'm just taking payment, and I got to ask permission from the U.S. government to receive my own money? U.S. sanctions, ladies and gentlemen, in my opinion, are acts of war. They have isolated Russia financially. They have driven down the value of the ruble and cut off Moscow's access to about half of its foreign currency reserves. Think about that for a minute, ladies and gentlemen. How is that not a war crime? What if that was done to us? Now, rating agencies around the world have slashed Russia's debt to junk status and have warned that a default was possible. A default on foreign debt would be the country's first since the 1917 Russian Revolution. So see, we're literally forcing them into this status almost. They had a little more mojo than we thought they did, though, huh? But see, what are we doing? Exclusive new info as well. Biolabs in the Ukraine may have been creating bioweapons. Ben Swan, Truth in Media. Drought conditions are expected to worsen. You think there's a relationship between murdering babies in abortion, the military-industrial complex, and war at every hand, war and rumors of war, and then drought conditions expected to worsen and spread further through the spring, writes the New York Times. Nearly 60% of the continental United States is experiencing drought conditions right now. Lake Powell, one of two huge reservoirs on the Colorado River, fell this week to its lowest level in over 50 years. Yeah, with the construction of the Grand Canyon Dam. Anyway, you look at that thing and you go, wow, do you think there's a relationship between all that? Well, time will tell. Keep an eye on the ball. Hey, our buddy is with us. Lowell Nelson, welcome back to Liberty Roundtable Live.
Wow, thanks for having me. Sam, it's good to be with you.
What do you think of the summary? I'm just telling you, we cannot continue in America, ladies and gentlemen, to murder babies wholesale and call it abortion, and then to literally ratchet up the military-industrial complex and fund and fuel war everywhere and get along with it. We can't do it, Lowell.
Well, you're exactly right, Sam. In fact, the drought conditions reminds me of the condition in the Book of Mormon, where a prophet pled with the Lord to withhold the rain so that the drought would affect his people and bring them to repentance. And when they came to themselves and repented of their wickedness and their evilness, then he prayed that the rains would be restored and the drought ended. I mean, this is kind of what it reminds me of, the current drought situation. We're trying to, you know, our God in heaven is trying to get our attention, trying to shake us hard enough that we'll repent. But I heard just last week of a bill in some state where they were, some Democrat had launched a bill that would allow the medical doctor up to 28 days after birth of a child to kill that child. You know, it's just beyond imagination what the wickedness that you know, we're allowing right here in our own country. We need to stop it. We need to repent. We need to turn to God. We need to merit the blessings of heaven that we seek. And we're certainly not going to do that by fomenting war around the world, you know, abroad, and then by killing the unborn and the aged here at home. Sam?
Ladies and gentlemen, Lowell Nelson, campaignforliberty.org. My phone's ringing off the hook. That's the way it is. It's 7 a.m. in the morning. Nobody gives a rip what time it is. 24/7. Just harass everybody. Call everybody. Just the society's gone berserk, I'll tell you that right now. When we come back, Utah County Clerks debate on Saturday with Lowell Nelson. We'll talk about it on your radio.
Have you ever heard of Loving Liberty Ladies? Well, the Loving Liberty Ladies are here to help you learn our American heritage and the way it affects today's society. The Loving Liberty Ladies also have a discussion guide called Proclaim Liberty. And with this guide, you can start your own group in your hometown. Get yours today on our website at lovingliberty.net. Look for our lesson supplements, too. They're free. To hear all the special offers and to join the fight for freedom and liberty, please go to lovingliberty.net.
The spirit of the American West is alive and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues of the American West. Each issue contains informative articles, breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of cowboy spirit today, and gift ideas like this year's Buckaroo calendar. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Loving Liberty Network salutes the spirit of the American West at rangemagazine.com.
For decades, leftists, liberals, socialists, and feminists have been screaming and crying, "My body, my choice," in order to justify the premeditated murder of innocent children in the womb. However, this is a fallacious argument, since science has proven and demonstrated that the baby has a separate set of DNA from the mother. If it's not your DNA, it's not your body. That is science, and you should trust the science. Remarkably, the same people who have been claiming "my body, my choice" for decades now want to force you to inject foreign substances into your body against your will. Obviously, they never cared about "my body, my choice." They just wanted to control you and have permission to kill babies. I am Ammon Bundy, and when you elect me governor of Idaho, I will sign an executive order on day one of my governorship prohibiting abortion in the state of Idaho. Because premeditated murder of the innocent should never be legal anywhere in the world, especially Idaho.
Paid for by Ammon Bundy for governor. VoteBundy.com.
Promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
All right, the debates rage on across the country, ladies and gentlemen. Lowell was at the last one right here in Utah. Lowell, what happened, sir?
Well, it was well attended. That would be an understatement.
To the rafters, huh?
Packed to the rafters, yeah. Monstrous attendance. Chairs were set up around behind the candidates even. I mean, it was a standing room only. Now, it was a small venue, admittedly. You know, it was built to hold maybe 75 or 100 people, and there were twice that many there, and people just, you know, standing in the doorways to listen. Why was the attendance so great? Well, it was because the subject. I mean, the county clerk is the one who is responsible in the county to conduct elections. And the reason I'm even mentioning this, Sam, you know, this might have appeal. You know, one would think this might appeal only to the local people here. But I mention it because I think it is a microcosm of this widespread negative sentiment about the election process employed just last year. You know, in most states around the country in 2020 and in 21, right? I mean, it's this universal vote by mail that people are kicking back against. All of the candidates, the three candidates, more or less said, well, they'd have to comply with state law, because here in Utah, the state law mandates the sending of ballots by mail to all registered voters, right? I mean, that's state law, because our myopic legislature made that law several years ago. But, you know, at least one of the candidates said he would strenuously advocate for a return to in-person voting, in precinct, on paper, manually counted. And that's what I advocate, too. And I think that's what we've been talking about for weeks, is getting back to what we're getting back to what you can visually see happen, where ballots get counted by hand. You can see and verify that the count is accurate. You can see and verify that only registered voters cast their ballots at the polls, you know, because they have to come and identify themselves to their own neighbors who know them and they who know their election judge neighbors. So, in other words, I was just very, very impressed at the super attendance at this debate. Now, what I didn't know, Sam, but what I learned at that debate is this. You know, just because you receive a ballot in the mail doesn't mean you have to return it in the mail or even via a ballot drop box. You can return that ballot in person. You can cast it in person. Now, why am I mentioning this? Because I think it's what we should do. Is it convenient? Well, maybe not convenient, but it used to be the only way you could cast a ballot. And so we citizens really ought to make it our habit. Even though we can put that thing in the mail or drop it in a ballot box, let's return it. There are elections this year, both the primary and the general election. Let's make a promise to each other. We're not going to mail that in. We're not going to drop it at some box. We're going to take that ballot in person and cast that ballot in person and ensure that we have a strong chain of custody for that ballot. Now, what's this going to do? It's going to send a message to our legislature that even though we have the convenience available to us to mail a ballot, we have chosen to be in person and cast that ballot. Can you imagine the difference if, you know, instead of like 10% of people casting their ballot in person, if 90% of the people cast their ballot in person? I mean, this is like, you know, taking our country back. we're showing the legislature we want in-person voting. We want to cast our ballots in person. I think that would be a strong message that we would send, you know, toward the decentralization of our ballot casting process and our ballot counting process. Sam, I don't think this issue is going to go away. I think we, the citizenry, are going to demand and insist that we return to this voting in precincts, voting in person on paper, and then counting those ballots manually. Sam?
Well, and Lowell, whether you agree with the Republicans today or the Democrats yesterday, and yesterday means several years ago, each took a turn complaining about election fraud. So when the Democrats tell you that election fraud is bogus, well, they had their claims about that several years ago. They've abandoned them now because Trump has taken up that battle cry. And now what you've got is, whether it's the Republicans or the Democrat against the Democrats, whether it's the swamp against the rest of us, whether it's the Trump Republicans versus the, I don't know what kind of Republicans you want to call them, the mainstream Republicans, let's just call it the swamp. Look, whether election fraud's real or election fraud's not real, what the government in bed with the media has managed to do is erode trust in the elections to the point where nobody trusts them anymore. Okay? You don't trust them because if you're a Democrat, you believe the Republicans are locking down voter rolls to the point where, hey, a lot of people are getting disenfranchised. Or if you believe the Republicans, then, hey, you know what? Dead people and everybody else are voting, and there's fraud everywhere. And okay, I don't care what side you take of this debate. Nobody has trust in the elections. And that's why this big debate took place. And that's why it's such a great turnout for it. People are sick of it. People want accountability. People want to restore trust in the system again. And until we do, ladies and gentlemen, this is only going to get worse. You're going to have, and if it goes on too long, listen to me very carefully. If it goes on too long, you're going to get to where people give up and they have no trust and they simply walk away from the process entirely. And so at this debate lull, did we come to a resolution? Did we come to anything that makes sense in terms of resolving these issues going forward? See, if I say I want paper ballots, they say you're crazy. You want to bomb us back to the, Middle Ages or something. And then if they say, you know, we just go on and on and make these outrageous claims, but yet nothing gets moving forward in terms of really resolving this conflict. I say there's vote fraud. They say you're a crazy conspiracy theorist. I say, no, listen, here's the proof. They say, we're not going to look at your proof. You're crazy. You're just, you know what? This is just a Donald Trump card. We're not doing it. Okay. And now we go on and on and on and around. Did this debate really resolve anything? Because until we get on top of this and realize it doesn't matter if you believe there's vote fraud or not. We've got to put something in place. We've got to do something to regain trust and stability in the system. And until we do, I see nothing but dark days ahead. Lol?
Well, two of the candidates, they said they were going to put the process under a microscope. And one of the three said not only that, but he would make be a strong advocate. He had a strong voice to the legislature to change back to a more transparent process, one in which citizens can have full confidence. And I tell you what, Sam, if you could sit at a ballot in your precinct, if you could sit there, which is what we used to do, we used to watch the balloting occur from 7 in the morning till 8 at night, okay? That's a 13-hour stretch of time. You just take your munchies with you, and then you go there in the morning. You see everybody who comes in to vote, cast a vote, and you can count them. In fact, they have the ledgers numbered from 1 to 1,000. And people come, they sign in on that ledger, and their vote gets counted. So at the end of the day, if 750 people show up to vote, you've seen every single one of them. You can verify that they live in your neighborhood, in your precinct. And then at the end of the day, the ballots are counted. No more than 750 votes get cast for any one candidate, or for the sum of votes cast for competing candidates, the sum of those votes never exceeds 750. I mean, you can verify that. And so you can walk out of there with full confidence that in your precinct, the ballot was cast correctly, legally, and the ballots were counted correctly and legally. That's the kind of confidence that will restore, voter confidence and will bring people back to the polls. But you're right. Until we correct this situation, there will be less and less interest in participating in a fraudulent or a corruptible system, Sam.
But let me ask you this, though. I appreciate a couple of candidates saying that, and I'm grateful for that because it's a start, and I appreciate the room being packed to the rafters. Again, people care. But what's being done, and I don't mean to be rude about this. I really want to kind of dig in a little bit because I think this is so vital. What's being done? I mean, is the mainstream swamp just basically saying you guys are kooks, we're going to do nothing, the elections are fine, to think they're not or is delusional? They can say that all day long. But at some point, if enough of us carry this ball, even if they think we're delusional, the fact remains the same. We don't have any trust in the system. And let me give you a proof and point. You mentioned going to your precinct and watching. They've skipped all the precincts with vote in mail. Literally, no offense, but there are no precincts left.
Yeah, they've you're gutted exactly them. Right, Ben. Uh-huh. And the legislature had an opportunity with HB 371 this session to reverse that, go back to a system we can trust. And what did they do? They voted it down in committee. Well, the retribution for that is that there will be some legislators that will lose their seats this year, Sam.
Well, I pray enough Americans get involved to make sure that truly happens, to send a clear message. Liberty Roundtable Live with Lowell Nelson in seconds on your radio.
Pursuing liberty, using the Constitution as our guide. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
You USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
President Biden's Supreme Court of the United States nominee, Ketanji Brown Jackson, will be questioned by lawmakers today in Washington.
Justice Breyer, the members of the Senate will decide if I fill your seat, but please know that I could never fill your shoes.
Theoretically, based on numbers, the Democrats could put Jackson through to the Supreme Court without any Republican support. It appears many on Capitol Hill want to hear Jackson before the Senate Judiciary Committee before making a decision on her nomination. A China Eastern 737 passenger jet carrying 132 people crashed in southern China on Monday. China's equivalent to the FAA said it has been confirmed that this flight has crashed, adding that it had activated its emergency response and dispatched a working group to the scene. The plane was carrying 123 passengers and 9 flight crew members. USA Radio News.
Not too long ago, it felt good to withdraw your cash from the bank, didn't it? For a vacation or a new car. But today, withdrawing your own cash has become risky. Pat Boone here for Swiss America. According to The Secret War, a new Swiss America white paper, I learned that all banks are now required to spy on you and me for the government, and then report any financial behavior deemed suspicious or unusual. You must read The Secret War. It's free.
Thanks, Pat. Call toll-free 800-630-1490. That's 800-630-1490.
Truth is, I believe the government's new war against cash is really a war against us all. But the secret is now out. So please, get and read The Secret War.
Again, 800-630-1490. 800-630-1490 today.
Or at SwissAmerica.com.
Basketball player LeBron James has reached another milestone in his career.
LeBron James is rising once again up the NBA's career scoring list. James passed up NBA great Karl Malone into second place on the all-time scoring list during the Lakers' 127-119 loss against the Washington Wizards Saturday night. James scored 38 points for Los Angeles, racking up a career total 36,947 points, putting him behind only the legendary Kareem Abdul-Jabbar by 1,441 points.
It's an honor for myself. For my hometown and for my family, my friends, to be able to live these moments.
From the USA Radio News Northeast News Bureau, I'm Chris Russell.
Ukraine directly rejected a Russian offer to open 2 safe corridors out of Mariupol in exchange for the city's surrender, as the relentless missile strikes on the battered seaport city continued for a 4th week Monday. Ukrainian leadership said there can be no talk of any surrender or lying down of arms. USA Radio News.
Begging politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
Lowell Nelson, CampaignForLiberty.org on your radio. Ladies and gentlemen, Ron Paul asks an important question. Is Washington fighting Russia down to the last Ukrainian? Great question, Lowell.
Well, he says, and I agree with him, the Congress and U.S. administration seem determined to drag the United States into a war with Russia over Ukraine. Senator Lindsey Graham is openly calling for someone to kill the Russian president, and many in the U.S. House have demanded that the administration establish a no-fly zone over Ukraine. Are they insane? Ron Paul asks. A no-fly zone means you destroy anything and everything that can prevent total U.S. air dominance. That means an attack on Russian missile and air defense systems within Russia. In other words, World War III. We can all feel disgust at the destruction in Ukraine, but is it really necessary for us to gamble with our own nuclear annihilation? Question mark and end of quote. Well, Sam, sadly, it seems that many in Congress seem to think so. I mean, that's what they're chomping at the bit for. Ron says much of what's happening in Ukraine can be traced back to the Obama administration overthrow of the government in Ukraine in 2014, right? That's only 7-8 years ago. The government in Ukraine since 2014 has been demanding membership in NATO. Why? Because the person we put in there was our plant. we wanted him to be demanding membership in NATO. And so this eastward expansion of NATO toward Russia, that's what's provoking Putin to do what he is doing. We really have to put ourselves in his shoes to understand why he's doing what he's doing. So, you imagine, what if Brazil pushed north into Mexico with a Central America treaty organization that defended its members with nuclear weapons, right, and planted those nuclear weapons in within their borders? Would we want nuclear weapons right next to us, pointed at us by a country next door like Mexico? Well, that's what Putin is facing. You know, if Ukraine becomes a member of NATO, that means the NATO missiles will go right next door to his country. And so, yeah, I don't think he wants that. I don't think Putin wants that. And so I think he's just doing militarily. I think he's militarily wise to keep a buffer between his country and his so-called enemies. Well, okay, so back to Ron's column. He says this: instead of supporting negotiations between Ukraine and Russia that could lead to a ceasefire and an end to the bloodshed, the U.S. government is actually escalating the situation, which can only increase the bloodshed. The constant flow of U.S. and allied weapons into Ukraine and talk of supporting an extended insurgency does not seem designed to give Ukraine a victory on the battlefield, but rather to hand Russia what Secretary of State Blinken calls a strategic defeat. Final sentence here, he says, Sam, it sounds an awful lot like the Biden administration intends to fight Russia down to the last Ukrainian. The only solution for the U.S. is to get out. Let the Russians and Ukrainians reach an agreement. End of quote. And I totally agree, Sam.
Amen to that. It looks like, Lowell, what we've done is we've turned a no-fry zone into a no-fly zone. We started out by saying, hey, McDonald's is just going to shut down over there, so no fries for you. And now it's no-fly for you as well. It makes you kind of think of the Jordan Schachtel article where he asked a very important forgotten question, Lowell.
That's right, Sam. On Thursday of last week, in this column, Jordan posted, he talks about this this very important question, and it comes on the heels of the press conference that Zelensky, Ukrainian President Zelensky, he addressed Congress, and he pleaded with Congress for help in his battle to defend Ukraine from Russia. His speech was met with, quote, unanimous praise and thunderous applause, end of quote. And he is the West man in Kiev, you know. Well, Zelensky demanded endless truckloads of weapons and even the assistance of the American military forces over his skies. In other words, he's asking for a no-fly zone to fend off Russian forces in his country. Well, following his speech, both Republicans and Democrats were tripping over themselves to get in front of TV cameras to declare that we must do more to help Ukraine in the war effort. But nobody is asking the question, why? What does the conflict in Ukraine have to do with actual American national security interests? And then Jordan writes this. He says, and this doesn't even cover our regime's economic warfare campaign against Russia, which is contributing to a global economic melee and the suffering of untold millions, while clearly harming Americans too. He continues, the Biden administration and Congress seem hell-bent on encouraging the war effort and have activated the big war machine without explaining what exactly is at stake for Americans. That's an important question. Thank goodness the Pentagon pulled back on the idea of a couple of weeks ago sending fighter jets to Ukraine from Poland, right? I'm counting my lucky stars for that. And Schachtel summarizes the essence of his column in this paragraph, Sam. What is happening in Ukraine is an ongoing violent territorial dispute, thousands and thousands of miles away, having nothing to do with our internal security. There are no American security interests at risk. And he then finally explains that instituting a no-fly zone is tantamount to starting World War III, as it requires our forces to attack Russian territory to secure the airspace over Ukraine. End of quote. I'm with that sentiment, Sam. I think it's foolish to do a no-fly zone, and I think it will foment World War III. It will begin. It would be the beginning of World War III if we do a no-fly zone over Ukraine, Sam.
And ladies and gentlemen, it might not be World War III like it instantly just ratchets up. What it might be is the precursor, though. You know, you got wars and rumors of wars, so it might be, hey, we do this, and then later it kind of calms down a little bit. But eventually these early skirmishes will be what changes the outcome of reality, ladies and gentlemen. What you got to understand is what is happening in Ukraine is an ongoing, violent territorial dispute thousands and thousands of miles away from us, having literally nothing to do with our internal security as Americans. There are no American security interests at stake at all or at risk at all in this thing, Lowell. And that's kind of the part that I just don't understand the connect. If you look at the Constitution, hey, what business do we have constitutionally? What authority do we have? Unless American direct interests are at stake, we have no authority whatsoever to even be involved.
It's exactly right, Sam. Even if, you know, Russia went in and killed every living thing in that country and razed every building, we would still not have a constitutional warrant to go there to stop them from doing that, believe it or not. You know,
let me say that again. Even if Russia killed every living person in the Ukraine and razed every building in the country, it would still not be the business of the U.S. military to intervene. And the reason why, ladies and gentlemen, is not that we're not sad for the suffering, but if we're not very careful, we create greater suffering is the problem. Picking sides will not help in this battle. Setting an example of peace and leadership, setting a light on a hill, testifying of Jesus Christ, teaching of the principles that made America great, that's the word can do more than the sword, Lowell.
Absolutely. And the last column we'll cover today, Sam, the least that I want to cover, is what Americans should do if they're concerned about Ukraine. And so I want our listeners, you know, those of our listeners who, you know, feel bad for Ukraine, and I do too, no question. But there is a hypocrisy going on in this country that we cannot ignore. So I beg you to continue to listen and understand the double forked tongue, right? The double speak that's really going on here in our country, the hypocrisy that exists. And then I think you'll understand even better why we are suggesting that we just get out of Ukraine and let them settle the territorial dispute between themselves. We need to quit coercing them into a solution that we have provoked, right? Ukraine has been poking the bear over the past 7 years, ever since 2014, been poking the bear, and now the bear is responding in a way that's totally understandable, and we're upset? It just doesn't add up, and we'll explain why next, Sam.
Hang tight, ladies and gentlemen. Listen to me carefully. Listen carefully. Deterrence works. Propaganda fails in the Ukraine. Peter Van Vieren with that one. We'll talk about it all in seconds on Liberty Roundtable Live with Lowell Nelson, campaignforliberty.org.
The Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit legal foundation committed to protecting our unalienable right to publicly acknowledge God. The Foundation for Moral Law exists to restore the knowledge of God in law and government and to acknowledge and defend the truth that man is endowed with rights not by our fellow man, but by God. The Foundation maintains a twofold focus. First, litigation within state and federal courts. Second, education. Conducting seminars to teach the necessity and importance of acknowledging God in law and government. How can you help? Please make a tax-deductible contribution, allowing Foundation attorneys to continue the fight. You may also purchase various Foundation products as well at morallaw.org. Located in Montgomery, Alabama, the Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit, tax-exempt 501c3, founded by Judge Roy Moore. Please partner with us to achieve this important mission. morallaw.org.
This is a battle. battle between truth and deceit, a battle between forces that would enslave this country in darkness and between a media that wants to present you with the truth.
We are being censored. America's news outlets no longer provide the truth. 90% of news outlets in the United States are controlled by 6 corporations. The mission of the Epoch Times is to chase the truth, to ground all statements in fact.
TheEpochTimes.com.
We at Freedom Factor have a passion for our shared American heritage and want to help restore some of that American pride by emphasizing the documents that made us Americans. Our goal is to put pocket constitutions into the hands of every American and in every school. This effort requires your help. Order your pocket constitutions and browse our website at freedomfactor.org to learn how you can help spread the message of freedom. Read it, know it, share it. FreedomFactor.org.
With news the networks refuse to use, you are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, what's happening in the Ukraine is an ongoing, violent, territorial dispute that really has nothing to do with America or our interests. All right, even if Russia killed every living person in the Ukraine and razed every building, it would still not be the business of the U.S. military to intervene or the United States at all. Deterrence works, ladies and gentlemen. Understand there are two battles now playing out over the Ukraine. The one on the ground, or the military physical battle, and the other one in the social media reality, trying to drag us all into an all-out war. Lowell?
That's right, Sam. Propaganda is sweeping our country, both in the mainstream media and in social media. It's ongoing, and the U.S. regime hopes that you and I will succumb to this media blitz. Putin is not insane, folks. He's not a madman. He's not unhinged. He's simply carrying out a rational political military strategy in Ukraine, seizing Russian-speaking territory such as the Donbass, demilitarizing by force the eastern Ukraine, most of all, creating a physical buffer zone between himself and NATO. Now, most importantly, Putin knows the U.S. and NATO would not fight him on the ground for fear of starting a nuclear war. That's the deterrent. Right, of having nuclear arms is that you don't get a fierce battle out of this. But the goal of the propaganda campaign is to get Americans to push Congress and the president to do something big enough to assert our strength, but small enough that it does not provoke a nuclear response. And that is very, very risky. The bad news is that Ukrainian propaganda is working, folks. And this, I was startled to learn that nonpartisan 74% of Americans, that's like 3 out of 4 Americans, say NATO should impose a no-fly zone in Ukraine. That is scary, Sam. We should not be asking for that. That is just so stupid. In my opinion, we are asking for a nuclear war if we were to impose a no-fly zone in Ukraine. And I'm just saying, I'm agreeing with Van Buren here. He's saying he's warning us not to fall for this propaganda. We have to ask the important question, why? And if we'll do that, if we ask those questions, folks, then you might be called a Putin apologist, maybe even a Putin lover. So you got to be prepared for that. But we do need to ask the right questions. And so closing out his column, Peter Van Buren writes, quote, "There are two battles now playing out over Ukraine, one on the ground, one in the social media, seeking to drag Americans into the mud. Only 6 months after the sad ending in Afghanistan, it is stunning to watch America again contemplate going to war for some abstract purpose far removed from our own core interests." End of quote. Couldn't said it better myself, Sam. It is stunning to watch the American people be turned by this propaganda campaign. You got to ask why, and nobody is standing up to ask why, except here on Liberty Roundtable and a few other places, Sam. And thank goodness
it's the manipulation of It's the manipulation of the media, ladies and gentlemen, or I should say the manipulation of our mindset through the media that is really the issue, ladies and gentlemen. Okay, so the Ukraine is important. Don't misunderstand me. Whenever lives are at stake, it matters, right? No doubt about it. But the question is, how do we have less death and more peace? How do we have less war and more integrity and honor? Okay, those same Americans who are lamenting the fate of the Ukrainian people right now, lol.
Yep, the ones who are lamenting their fate are also the ones who turned their back on the Russian people of eastern Ukraine during the past 8 years when the Ukrainian military has been shelling them, bombing them, right? Why didn't they cry out for justice when the Ukrainian military was bombing the Russians in southeastern Ukraine? Tell me that. That is some of the hypocrisy that I mentioned earlier, I alluded to earlier, the hypocrisy going on. The very Americans who are crying out for aid and support to the Ukrainian people are the very same ones who totally ignored the plight of the Russian people in eastern Ukraine when they were getting bombed, then they were getting shelled by the Ukrainian army, the Ukrainian military. That's what's so hypocritical. And they're the same
for
Americans.
8 years, ladies and gentlemen. Let's be clear, for 8 years. And what about the Iraqis? What about the Afghans? What about the Vietnamese who were all suffering, bleeding, dying at the hands, at the bombs and the bullets of what? That's right, the U.S. military. This is what we're talking about, ladies and gentlemen. The hypocrisy, the dishonesty, the war at every turn, and you're being absolutely propagandized about who holds the moral high ground, lol.
Totally right, Sam. You know, and we need to let this sink in a little bit. It is the United States that is engaging in a military operation halfway around the world, and we're told that whenever we do that, well, we're told to be patriotic, to support the troops, thank them for their service, and consider them heroes, right? When the U.S. is doing that. But when Russia does just a small taste of that, then we're supposed to consider them the bad man of the world. And I will add a little bit to this. What about the Yemeni people, people in Yemen, who have been bombed by Saudi Arabia since 2015. It's a genocide over there with weapons and assistance from the United States, right? Why weren't Americans concerned about the Yemeni people when they were getting killed, when they were being starved, when medical supplies couldn't get to them because of embargo, right? Where were the American people then? It is just so hypocritical of the American people to be calling for defending the Ukrainians when they stood and did nothing in defense of the Iraqis, in defense of the Vietnamese, in defense of the Yemeni people, right? I mean, why are we so one side? Why are we so hypocritical? It just boggles the mind. In fact, let me say this. Parenthetical to this column by Lawrence Vance, this is where the states could have a big impact on the president's arrogation of war power, right? You know, the president, he can commit the National Guard members, the National Guard, to combat zones. But what if your state outlawed that and said, we prohibit the governor from allowing the commitment of National Guard troops to a battle zone, to a combat area in the world? Now, if every state did that, this is what we call the Defend the Guard Act. If every state did that, then the president would not be able to move troops into a combat zone without a formal declaration of war by Congress. So I think, folks, we have in our hands the opportunity to restrict the power of the general government to its rightful bounds. If we would take that opportunity and exercise it in our own state legislatures, folks, we have that opportunity. We have that power. Let's do it. Let's get Defend the Guard Act introduced in every legislature in the country, and let's not be the people who go and fill the boots of troops on the ground in these foreign interventionary wars. The purpose of the U.S. military is to defend the United States, period. Not defend other countries, not take sides in wars, not change regimes, not establish democracy, not nation build, not train foreign armies, not enforce no-fly zones, not protect U.S. commercial interests abroad, not serve as peacekeepers, not carry our UN resolutions, not carry them out, not contain communism or radical Islam, not invade other countries, not occupy other countries, not provide disaster relief, not dispense humanitarian aid, not intervene in civil wars, not secure the borders of other countries, not try to fight every wrong in the world, and not police the world. That was a quote from Lawrence Vance in this column posted here at lewrockwell.com, Sam. And he's absolutely right. That's not the duty of the U.S. military. You see, even if you, and we mentioned this earlier, even if Russia killed every living person in Ukraine and razed every building there, it would still not be the business of the U.S. military to intervene. But now I want to talk about what...
Even if it's not the U.S. military's fight to have, can individual Americans help the people of Ukraine? Lowell?
Yes. The answer is yes. We can send aid, supplies, money, and weapons, and so forth. We can even go there and fight alongside the Ukrainian people if you want to do that. Now, to those Americans who are calling for U.S. troops to go to Ukraine and fight, I simply say this. What's stopping you? Oh, so you're too old or too feeble? Then what about your children or grandchildren? Are you willing for them to share their blood and to die to liberate Ukrainians from the Russians? Why do you instead want to send other Americans to fight, bleed, suffer, and die? And for what?
And by the way, by force, though, send them. Let's be clear.
Yeah, conscription, right? And so, Sam, if we ourselves are not willing to go there and fight and bleed and suffer wounds and maybe even death, then how in the world are we morally justified in calling upon Congress to send others there to fight, bleed, and die? That's my question. And I'm reminded of Bo Bright, who on the campaign trail in the 80s promised he would be willing personally to lead troops into battle against the enemy upon whom Congress has declared a formal war. Do you think Biden or members of Congress today would so loudly cry for war if they knew that they would be leading the charge into battle, Sam? You know, it's easy to spend other people's money, which is what Congress does, and it's easy to send other people into battle, which is what our president does, but what a true lover of liberty, what a true Christian would do, he would spend other people's money as if it were his own, meaning very frugally, and he would never send other people into battle that he personally is unwilling to fight. And so the bottom line for me, Sam, is that no troops should be deployed to combat without a formal declaration of war by Congress, and no member of Congress should cast a vote in favor of a declaration of war unless he or she is personally willing to go into battle himself. Sam, that's the bottom line.
Well, and my bottom line is, ladies and gentlemen, remember, war begats war. All right? Dishonesty begats dishonesty. Immorality begats immorality. Now take the opposite side. Peace begats peace. Honor, transparency, accountability begats honor, transparency, and accountability. What road do we want to go down? Do we want to set the standard as a light on a hill and teach other nations how to live peacefully together? The United States is a blueprint in peaceful living. You got 50 separate republics that have come together and worked it out. Can we teach others to do the same by example rather than war? That is our prayer. Lowell Nelson, thank you so much, sir. God bless you and all the incredible work you do.
You're welcome, Sam. Good to be with you.
There he goes, campaignforliberty.org, libertyroundtable.com, lovingliberty.net. We declare this nation shall endure.